entire chapter. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, how we need your help here. How we need the Holy Spirit to have his perfect will and way. We know that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. We approach by faith today, Father, not faith in self, but faith in you, Lord Jesus, that you might lead us and guide us and help us this day, that you might teach us, Lord, and help us to know what it means truly to enter into rest, and that you would make that a reality by the Holy Spirit, we do pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Entering into rest by faith, needing the life of another. The SAS, when they do their selection, one of the things they tell their new recruits, the possible ones who will possibly make it through, and they know that many won't, they tell them to believe in themselves, that they are to believe in themselves and they need to try, and that they're looking for warriors, and really, in a sense, point them back to themselves as being the answer. And then they put them through all sorts of physical and mental rigor. And as one SAS man said, he said, we need people who will be able to handle the rigors of combat. And so they put them through all of this pressure, and it's mainly to bring pressure upon the mind of the person and to see whether they will make it or whether or not they will snap. And different ones will snap early, some snap later, and some manage to make it through without snapping. As a believer, when we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith, we are never told to then look back to self for the answer. As God has placed before us the impossibility of the Christian life, God calls us to live a life as a believer which not only is a difficult life, but it's one which is impossible in the arm of the flesh. And if you don't believe it, you will probably see it. You may have even seen it before. people, if we can say, who have at some point, we could say, spiritually snapped. And they could no longer do it. They did their best. They did their utmost. And it was not enough. And they broke and they said, it's too hard. And to live the life of faith is too difficult. I've trusted God so far, but I can trust him no further to take me further on. And in the preceding chapter to this, chapter 3, we saw the typology of the Old Testament Israelites, and we see how they all made it out of Egypt. The whole lot of them. Mums, dads, older people, young people, children. God brought that entire nation out. Probably of however many people, thousands and thousands of people out of Egypt. Brought them all the way to the brink of the Red Sea. The Egyptians approaching from behind. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to hide. And then God opened a way through and they went through the sea on dry land with a wall of water on either side of them. And God brought them all that way. And they saw that and they believed God. I mean, you can't tell me that to have stepped into the Red Sea, albeit on dry land, with water on either side of you, that did not take faith. That would have taken faith that God was going to, not only had brought those waters back, was going to hold them there and bring them there and to keep them there whilst all those people travelled through with all their belongings. And they made it out of the land of Canaan. But for the Israelites to enter into Canaan, it was not only to enter a place of temporal and material blessings. Entering into Canaan meant knowing the rest of God in their hearts as they sought to obey him by faith in a land which was full of challenging fights. Many never tasted of the blessings of entering Canaan. They fell short of the promise which God made them. They had faith as they came out of Egypt. They made it through the Red Sea. But those same people who saw God do all of those miraculous things when they came to Canaan said it cannot be done. And they there at that point faltered and they failed to enter into rest. And that's why we see back in chapter 3 that their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They never got to experience the land of Canaan because of that. And you know, God has promised his people today, right now, that he has a more abundant life for us. And it is not the life that is absent from challenges. It is not the life that is absent from fights. When you read about Canaan, okay, it was a wonderful place. It was an abundant place, a land of milk and honey, beautiful Mediterranean fruit, and there was also lots of fighting to do. And I would even submit to you that at least in some aspects that Canaan was going to be more of a challenge than the wilderness. Yes, they had their fights in the wilderness. Now they're coming against people who were literally giants, some of them, walled cities. But there was a difference that God was going, but of course, as God was there with them in the wilderness, he was there to enable them in the promised land too, if they would only believe him and go through by faith. And in John 10:10, it says, the thief, this is the Lord Jesus, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's the words of our Lord Jesus. And like the Israelites who were brought out of Egypt and who had life, as it were, and they were saved from the Egyptians, they never knew what it was to go into a more abundant life. And so it is often with many believers is that Christ saves them from their sins. They enter into life, but they know very little, if not almost nothing, of the abundant life that Jesus promised. And it stems back to a problem by faith. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And never ever forget this last phrase. For without me, ye can do nothing. And it comes right against the pride of man and of you and of I that we see that we have no capacity within ourselves to live the life of faith. But it must be all of Jesus Christ. You'll find yourself worn down. you'll find yourself weary. You'll find yourself doubting and then quitting. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh yes, there are burdens for the Christian. There is work for the Christian. This is not the rest of inactivity, the rest where one lies around and does nothing. But it's different when it's the yoke of Jesus and when he gives rest to the soul and he enables for the path forward. So let's look here in this passage. He begins here and says, let us therefore, talking about what has been preceded there in those verses in Hebrews 3, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I've been rung by that a couple of times to get his help with the book of Hebrews. He's preached through it before, done notes on it. And he said to me over the phone, I think it was yesterday, he said, you're in the meatiest passage in the Bible. That was his belief. Pretty well, probably arguably the most meaty passage in the Bible. And I confessed I was having some trouble chewing it. Okay, not that it isn't good. It's the word of God. It's precious. But I'll tell you what, it can be hard work to be able to chew through the deep truths of the word of God. Okay, we really need the Spirit of God to help us there. Let us therefore fear. And isn't it interesting, we're talking here about rest, and yet, first of all, he says fear. Fear. So it sounds very contrary. I thought this was about rest and coming to Jesus for rest, and now you're saying fear. What we need to say is entering into this life of faith, this life of Christ living through me, of Christ enabling me in the battles, the spiritual battles in life, Christ enabling me to live and to work and to minister for him is a very sober matter. Oh, yes, I want Jesus to help me. Fear. Because if you miss this, you can fall short of it. If you fail to trust God by faith, you can fall short like the Israelites did. It was a sober matter. Oh, yeah, they had some doubts and didn't believe God. They never got into Canaan. They died in the wilderness. And you know what? That is the case for many Christians. They never make it out of the wilderness. They could. God gives them the opportunity to. God wants to give them that abundant life. But they come to a point and they say no. I believe God for all those other things, but this is too much. Do you ever come to that realization just in everyday living, just about how to live right now, right at this very, very point in time, that I can't do this, and you have to turn to Christ to help you? I felt that way last night. It's been so busy leading up to Sunday, trying to read my children a story. You know, you have to try to fit things in. You know those things in the arcade where you have those crocodiles come out, you have to whack them on the head and make them go back in. But the more you whack them, the faster they get, and then it's a bit hard to get to all of them. Gets a bit like that in life sometime. Reading a story to my children, the three oldest ones. I've got more than three. Mum's distracted, mum's doing something, I'm doing something. Keen little eyes, inquisitive minds and hearts, dexterous little fingers. I didn't do well. And here I am. I've got to preach on rest. And my soul went anything but restful. And I had to come to the Lord and I had to ask for his forgiveness. And, Lord, I can't live this life of rest. I can't do this, Lord. I need you. And we have to be willing to come to that point where we say, not I but Christ. Those who hold on to their pride and say, I will do this. I will be the one. They will be the one who is left in the wilderness. Because they fail to believe God. It's a sober matter. And it's an all-inclusive promise. God doesn't promise the abundant life for select people, personal favourites. He offers it to all his children. But it's an offer which can be missed. Don't fall short. It is possible to miss God's rest. It is in that moment that you must trust God by faith. It might be many challenges you will take and say, I can take that. I can take that. I can take that. I wasn't expecting that, but I can take that. I reckon I've had about enough, but I'll take a bit more. And I'll take some more. I'm not taking any more. Because self runs out. And we can't do it anymore. And if in that moment people would say, God, I cannot, but I know that you can, that's when we go into Canaan. And that's when we live that victorious life. But it's when we shake our heads and say, impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Not going there. Not going to do it. Not going to try. And God says, okay, because you failed to believe me, you will not. The problem we see here, the possibility, okay, missing out, the problem here is unbelief. Andrew Murray says, we have in Scripture the most precious assurances of a rest for the soul to be found under the yoke of Jesus, of a peace of God that passes all understanding, of a peace and a joy in the soul that nothing can take away. But when they are not believed, they cannot be enjoyed. Faith is in its very nature a resting in the promise and the promiser until he fulfills it in us. Only faith can enter into rest. The fullness of faith enters into the full rest. The rest was preached. It was proclaimed, that gospel, that good news of the rest of God was preached to them, but they wouldn't grasp it by faith. And herein lies the crux of the matter for you, for me, for all of us. The Christian life always has been, always will be, cannot be anything else but a walk of faith. God wants to lead his people onwards, upwards, forwards, but they will not believe God. They are afraid of what they see, and they will not believe God. God calls his people through his word to follow him in obedience, but they do not have the faith to take God at his word. It's too much. It's too hard. I can't. It will cost me too much. Do you think that the spies that went into the land of Canaan, that they didn't see the facts, humanly speaking, as they truly were? It was a land with giants. It was a land with high-walled cities. To try in the just with your own ability would have been ridiculous, and it was, because they tried it and it didn't work. Remember that? God says, you're not going to do that. We can't. God says, you won't. They said, oh, okay, we're going to try it now, and it didn't work. Can I just say, if there is faith involved with entering into rest, you can know that entering rest in God's way goes against our natural thinking and ways. It does. Thinking in the natural, those men, you could say, I'm trying to be controversial, were right. This is an impossibility. But they weren't thinking in terms that God, who brought us out of the land of Egypt, God who sustained us and brought us to this point, will take us on into the land. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is the solution, is faith in God. Because unbelief, how abhorrent is unbelief to God when we fail to believe him, fail to take him at his word? And God, I'm not going to take you further until you believe me. And that's why so many people don't go further in their Christian walk, is because they will not believe God. We need to dare to believe God. Dare to take him at his word. Making you feel uncomfortable? Because we don't like walking by faith. Andrew Murray says, it is as faith sees that the creature was destined to find its rest nowhere but in the Creator, and that in the entire surrender to him, to his will and his working, the creature may have perfect rest, that it may dare to cast itself upon God and have no care. You feel restless. And some people, they're saved, but they're not at rest. And by rest, I don't mean someone, and I mean, man, they're such a restful Christian. They never go to outreach. They hardly ever go to church. They're chilled, man. Just, you know, whatever. You know, it's just everything's relaxed, easy as. You know, line them up with one of the light poles to see if they're moving. Yeah. They're just, they're at peace, man. They're at rest. Nothing phases me. Not the preaching. Not a rebuke from God's word. Nothing. I'm at rest. I'm peace, you know. I'm on my way to heaven, man. All good. Just, that's not the rest that God speaks of. Not at all. It's not the rest of inactivity. It is Christ working through me. Andrew Murray again says, faith is always rest in what another will do for me. Faith ceases to seek help in itself or its efforts, to be troubled with its need or its weakness. It rests in the sufficiency of the all-sufficient one who has undertaken all. Trust Jesus, give up and forsake the wilderness, follow him fully. He is the rest. It's so easy to not be at rest, to be restless, and not be at rest in God and in his provision for you. Do you know what one of the things that's hard in the Christian life, I believe, is just continuing on and doing just exactly what God told you to do? Consistency, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. Same again. Keep being faithful. Keep witnessing. Keep walking with me. Keep being faithful. Keep reaching out to others. And the restless soul says, I need something more. Rather than finding our sufficiency in him. That's why people go under or they go over the top. They go, it's all too hard, so I'll just go to the user-friendly church where nobody judges about anything, hardly, and I'll just do whatever. Or I'm going to be a major Christian. And I'm going to come out with all sorts of weird ideas and weird rules and weird beliefs and whatever. And I'm just going to be major. And the flesh says, yes, that's right. Rather being in rest with Christ. Where does this rest even come from? It's one that belongs to God. The rest doesn't come from us. Your parents have ever told you that? I think Mum used to say it to you. Just be restful. Okay, just be restful. I guess other mothers must have to say it as well, but be restful. And you might be hearing, so well, I need to be restful. You can't be. It's not the rest that comes from me. It's God's rest. And you can see that. Look here in verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. God's rest, verse 3, if they shall enter into my rest, God's rest again. Verse 5, and in this place again, if thou shalt enter into my rest. Verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, it's God's rest. It's a rest that only God can give. It's a rest that God offers, and it's a rest that only he can give. Doesn't originate in our fallen nature. This is the rest which God himself enjoys. It is. It's the rest of a finished work. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works? Well, keep reading. Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. It is the rest that God enjoys. It's the rest of a completed work. I have a quote from my dad. He says, the rest in Eden was the rest of God's completed work. God had done all. Man had done nothing. The rest into which the New Testament believer is invited is therefore the repose of a soul on a God who has done all, who undertakes to do all. That is the rest that we have. This was not the rest of our activity, was it? God ceased from doing his works, but he still maintained his creation. In Colossians 1 and verses 16 and 17, it says, for by him, talking about our Lord Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, don't miss the last part, and by him all things consist. Or we could say cohere, hold together. Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. So it's not the rest of inactivity. Okay? God still works, but there was a cessation there of his own works, and he rested. It is God's, another way my dad puts it, own tranquil repose. And he offers us to come into that rest. That rest, his own very rest, and to partake of it. So we see rest in Eden, God resting. But it was not only for that time, because we see in verses 5 to 6, we see rest in Canaan. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Okay, so referring there to the Israelites who failed to believe. God offered to his chosen people that same rest which he enjoys. Not only the blessings of Canaan, but really the rest, the inward rest of being able to live in that land and to live by faith. Canaan was a bountiful place. It was a blessed place. It was also a very challenging place. And the spies, they didn't say that the place wasn't a bountiful place, a land of milk and honey. They were quite willing to say that. But they said Numbers and verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They saw the reality, only they failed. They saw what the situation would be without God. Only they failed to see that God was with them. And God offered it. We see Joshua and Caleb. Yes, we can do this by the grace of God. Others, no. And they weren't able to enter into rest. They were right there on the brink of it, and they didn't go in. And you know, people come to that place in their life. They come to that brink, as it were. And they say, I can't, it can't be done. And you might know people out there like that. now they're just not walking with God. They're bitter. They're cynical. Oh, yeah, we used to go to Northside. Oh, yeah, we used to be like that. We used to be a fundamentalist. But too many rules. Now we have fun. Back in the wilderness. You know, when you get injured in life, when you get hurt in life, you can become bitter and you can go back to the wilderness, or you can draw upon the grace of God in that case and say, Lord, I trust you with it. And by faith, I'm going forward. And then you find out that he does it in me. And I'll keep going and I don't have to lose my joy. And I don't have to become bitter. And I don't have to become angry. And I don't have to become a failure. I am a failure apart from the grace of God, but I don't have to truly fail. And I can go onwards. I can go upwards. I can go forwards. How many times, you know, perhaps you could ask, you know, someone like Brother Rees or Brother Ringwald, how many times in ministry over the years, you know, when something went wrong that you could have just gotten bitter about it or quit about it? You know, people which will cause you problems. My dad said that they said in Bible college, three nuts and you're out. And Dad said, I think we're well and truly past our use by. By the grace of God, he's not bitter. He knows that he knows these truths, but he himself knows. My dad written a whole notes, all these notes on the book of Hebrews, and taught and preached these truths for years, and he knows he wouldn't be where he is if it was not for them. And this is why I point back to verse 1, and this is where there's a reason for fear, the right sort of fear. And so we need to get a hold of these truths. We need to understand them. And we need to know what it means to place our faith in God and say, Lord, I cannot, but by your grace will you enable me to keep going. Because you know what? Some people come face to face with these truths and they say, we're not doing that. Do you know there's some people that what I'm teaching you this morning, do you know they really hate these truths? Christians. And they do not like them at all, and they'll pass it off as they call it deeper life. And they'll sneer at it. Even one relative of mine, he said, that's a crisis mentality. Don't be surprised, say respectfully, that if you have the mindset that you don't need these truths, that you don't come to your own crisis point and fail of the grace of God because you didn't draw upon the grace of God and the truths of this God that is not I but Christ. How do you get saved? Do you get saved by doing your utmost and doing your best and trying to be a very good person so that God will accept you? Yes? No? In this church we say absolutely not, no way. Question? That's how we get saved. Then when God sanctifies us, how do we get sanctified? Is it by trying and by working hard and doing our utmost? No, it's the same way. It's by faith. I am the vine, ye are the branches. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Would you think someone was crazy if they told you that Jesus never ever did a miracle, or never ever raised the dead or healed the sick? Well, Jesus said, the works I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. It was the life of the Father which lived through Christ which empowered him to do those things. And he wants us to live by him. That it would be Jesus in me doing the works. That's why Paul could say, "Never, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me." And that's where if you go through a day and you say, by God's grace, you say, I walked with God today. I did this and this and this. Oh, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the sooner you realise that, your own inability, the better it is. Because then just like you did as a sinner when you got saved, you said, Lord, there's nothing I can do. Lord, save me, forgive me. Save me from my sin, Lord. I'm done. that in sanctification you say, Lord, again, I cannot do this. I cannot sanctify myself. I can't live the way you want me to live. Lord Jesus, save me from myself and live through me. So, there's all those carcasses strewn in the wilderness. 40 years later, with all those unbelieving people dead in the wilderness, the nation was ready to enter Canaan. Was Canaan any different 40 years later? No. Probably the population was greater, I presume, possibly. Still a walled city, walled cities. Still people there ready to destroy anyone who tried to come in. Okay, a defender has its own, it can have its own advantages, can't it? Jericho, high walls. But these ones who stood there, they still had their struggles, but on the whole, they were a victorious people. They knew what it was to enter into the rest which God offers. And they went into the same place that their fathers refused to go. Same giants there, sorts of giants, same situations. And they were doing it God's way. Who on earth would say that when you come to Jericho that you should walk around it each day? Walk around Jericho with its high walls, with people there on the walls armed to the teeth. If you ever look into those ways they used to fight back then, it was nothing nice. Awful, awful stuff. Things dropped from the wall, boiling oil. It was awful. Arrows. And God said, walk around it. Next day, walk around it again. And then the seventh day, seven times around, and then you shout with a shout. The walls come down and they're into the city and they take it. So it doesn't sound very restful, because it's not the rest of sleeping, but it was God doing it through them. And it wasn't just that they had a bit of success there at Jericho, just simply as a military, as people who were doing a military exploit, because they went against Ai, which was tiny, and people got killed and they fled from their enemies. Jericho was a much bigger threat than something like Ai. But see, they won at Jericho and they thought, oh, Ai, this will be easy. We'll take this. Not without God. Watch out for that too. God might bring you through something major and there's something else. A small challenge comes up, you say, no worries, I'll take that. And you'll get absolutely thrown by it. That's why Jesus says nothing. We need him for the big things. We need him for the little things. Whatever it is, life, ministry, marriage, family, soul winning. You know, I give people the word of God, you know, like with, you know, with giving them the gospel and that stuff to pray, Lord, help me. Or counseling people, Lord, give me wisdom here. You always need the Lord. Rest was offered in David's time. You can read about that in Psalm 95. In verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. So this same rest was on offer then as well in David's time. And I believe that David knew that rest, at least at times. Read Psalm 23. That was resting in God. He restoreth my soul. Verse 5 in Psalm 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Do you know, there was one very influential Christian leader, and he said, there is no overflowing cup. Well, David said, my cup runneth over. Do you know why? He doesn't know the reality of these truths here, I don't believe. And do you know what they think it is? They think that the Christian life is just one nasty, hard slog for the most part. It's just hard, hard, hard all the way. And there's not that inner joy, that inner rest, that inner power. And yet, God wants us to have that. God wants us to know that joy, to know that power. Then we see rest is in our time, for our time too. For if Jesus, okay, which is the Greek translation of Joshua, I believe, you translate from Greek, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So you see, this rest that God is talking about was not only for the Israelites, it was not only the rest that God enjoyed in Eden, but there's a rest for the people of God, for all of God's people, that God wants us to have. He wants us to know his rest. He makes the provision for us, and it's for you. We see here in the illustration, verse 10, it says, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." So as we see that God ceased from his works, obviously God being perfect, ceased from his works, everything he made was good, and was rested. But it says, "For he that is entered into his rest," that's someone else who does, "he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." There needs to be a cessation, doesn't there, of your own efforts. A cessation of your own trying. And then of resting in God and saying, "Lord, I cannot, but will you do it through me?" And that in itself is hard. When we, as Paul in Romans can say, "For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." But then we're humbled, and then it all becomes all of him, all of God. And then who gets all the glory? He does. And that's what it's about, that we would be that vessel that brings honour and glory to God, that we would be that one who would reflect, as it were, the glory of our Lord. So it's a matter of great importance. The writer here says, "Let us therefore fear." Not that we'd be in some carnal terror, but it is a matter of true importance that we would enter into the rest that God offers us. And verse 11 says, "Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." And you say, "Well, that sounds interesting. Labour, working to come into rest. Why are we talking about ceasing from our own works?" Okay, the understanding here of the word, I believe, is that of diligence. That is, we could say, if I can paraphrase, give diligence. Labour, give diligence, therefore, to enter into that rest. You might say, I'm struggling a bit to understand these truths. Don't be a hearer that just lets these words go over your head. But say, "Lord, be diligent about it. Lord, I want to enter into this rest. I don't want to miss it." Because you know what? Other people have. There have been people who've been in this church and they've obviously missed these truths. And they're no longer here. And they can be in bad places, sad places, sour places, carnal places. They didn't enter into rest. And so that's why it's for us to give diligence that we would enter into that rest. Careful consideration of these truths. A humility before the Lord. Say, "Lord, I want to enter into your rest." And again, not the rest of inactivity. Think about those Israelites going into the land of Canaan. And I mean, just even hiking would have been a physical thing, wouldn't it? Imagine running with weapons, fighting people. Just, I mean, not restful in that way, but the sufficiency is of God. What did Paul say? "We're not sufficient to think anything of ourselves," one of those lines, "but our sufficiency is of God." And so it must be. So are you ready to cease from your own efforts? Some people say, "No, that life of faith, it's, I think I'll lose something." Matthew 10:37-39 says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And the application to us as believers, if we try to save the life and refuse to walk by faith because I feel that I will lose something in this way, it works the opposite way. We lose the life that God wants us to live. That when we let go of the life we have, we save it. And we live the true life that God wants us to. So when you come to that point of Canaan, that crisis of faith, faltering in unbelief is what comes to any of us easily. But it's in that point where we exercise faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you read about all of that there in Hebrews later on, in Hebrews 11. We had some of it earlier about faith. By faith, this one. By faith, this one. They did this. And it says, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. And if you feel weak today, you know that can have its own benefit. Feel weak, feel helpless, that's where God is able to make himself strong to you. And I hope he does today. So, be diligent to enter into his rest. And maybe there's someone today, or some of you, perhaps you have hurts, and that's your crisis of faith. And you're at that point where you're injured and you're hurt and you're sad. And it can go either way. You can become bitter at that point in time. You can fail of the grace of God. Don't let me lose you here. You can become bitter at that point and you can say it's all too hard. Or you can trust his infinite strength and say, Lord Jesus, I renounce all of it. I renounce all of my reliance upon self. I have nothing to offer, Lord. Nothing to offer you in this Christian life. I know where this is going. And I know it's going to be bad. I'll be another statistic. I'll be a bitter Christian. Or I'll go out into the world and I'll sin. And I'll do something terrible. But Lord, I'll give you that burden. I will cast that burden upon you, Lord. And I, by faith, I'm going to trust you to sustain me. Because that's what it says in your word. And that's faith, right? Not that I feel it, but God says it. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. And so, Lord, well, that's what you say. And so, like a little child, I'm just going to believe you. And I'm going to say, okay, Lord, here is my burden. I cast it upon you. And Lord, I'm going to trust that your everlasting arms are underneath me and that you're going to catch me. And then you'll go on. And out of weakness, God will make you strong. And God can even enable you in the right sense of the word by his grace that he can do great things through you. Not a feel-good thing that you're this special person who can do great things. No, God can do great things through you. And I trust that he will. And there's more, which perhaps we will look at another day, and we see the connection with this life is with the Word of God, as we read earlier, and also the living Word, which is the Lord Jesus. And can I just encourage you, if you want this life of rest, don't think that you can have it without God's Word and without the Son of God. Plenty of people want rest, but they do not want to draw near to the Son of God. And they do not want the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and to change them. I want to be at rest, but I want to live my way. I want to enjoy God's blessings, but I want to disobey him at the same time. No. May God enable us to come to that point where we will trust him. And perhaps this morning, perhaps there's one pivotal thing. You know, when someone gets saved, there can be one final thing, can't there? that is the final blockade to allowing them to get saved. It's not that God can't forgive them for the sin. They just say, I'm not going to let go of that. I'm not going to let go of that grudge. I'm not going to become a Christian because then I'll have to forgive someone. I'm not going to become a Christian because then I'll have to give up this or give up that. What's that final thing that is you're holding back and you won't trust God with it? Got to let it go. Got to let it go. You say, I can't hand it over. It's in my hand. I can't hand it over. If you can't hand it over, will you at least say, God, I can't hand it over, but I'm willing for you to take it and let him do it. And I trust that if that's you today, that you will know the great blessings of surrender. God will condescend to you. He'll make his grace known to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, just the depth of there's so much in this passage, Lord. There's so many other things that could be expounded upon and dealt with. But Lord, I just pray that the simple truth of rest in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, even in this moment, I pray that we as a church would draw near. That each one here would draw near to you, Lord Jesus. And that we would rest in you. Lord, help us to know that reality in our day-to-day living, that you'd help us to be at peace with you, that we'd know your life living through us, Lord Jesus, we do pray. In your precious name, amen.